In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Today we celebrate the Nativity of the Holy Virgin Mary. And the stories that we have about this feast day come from some deuterocanonical texts, particularly the Gospel of Mary, and secondarily, the Proto-Evangelium of James. And both of these Gospels relate a similar story, each with some similar and some different details, of this struggle of this pious family of Joachim and Anna to have a child. And it says, and this also, of course, corresponds to the Old Testament, it says that Joachim and Anna were in elderly, essentially. They were in their around in their 70s and 80s. No, wait, in their 70s. And in their 70s, they were a reproach to their they were reproached by their people. You see, in Israel, to not have children, to not have offspring, actually was considered a curse. And so, although they were pious and although they were faithful in their pursuit of God, yet externally there was no fruit. And because there was no fruit, the story goes that even as Joachim went to offer an offering at the temple, that the high priest rebuked him and told him that he must be a curse, because he must have a curse, that God had cursed him, because they were unable to have children. So barrenness is, of course, a struggle that many of us even have nowadays. Fruitlessness, and it can be, for many women, very painful and sometimes embarrassing, but we've oftentimes taken the stigma away from it. Back then, for Joachim and Anna, there was a certain they would be ostracized. They would be considered outside the people somehow. The Old Covenant actually has this enshrined in it. And so, although they serve God, somehow yet they still have to suffer wanting children and serving God. They still suffer without children. So the story goes that in response to this, that Joachim goes into the desert to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. That Anna goes to a garden and is grieving. She's grieving two things. She believes that she will never have a child. And she also believes at this point that she has lost her husband, because he says he's not going to eat until the Lord answers his prayer. In the story in the garden, and both in the garden and the desert, an angel visits both of them and tells them and comforts them to go home and to be with one another, and that they would bring forth a special child. And then we have ultimately what is the celebration of today's feast day, that after their coming together, the birth of the Virgin. Now, there's a pattern set within this story that it is possibly helpful for us. How many of us, well, we'll just start with how many of us feel sinful. Now, if you feel sinful, if you have an experience and you watch yourself sin, most of the time people don't expect much from God when they're sinful. A lot of times people think God is angry at them and he looks away from them, and in our culture and orthodoxy and the world Christianity, the predominant model is that somehow God can disappear from our lives when we're sinful. Technically the teaching is God is everywhere present and fills all things, and he is always trying to pursue us, regardless of our sinfulness or not, that he is always running towards us, and that it is up to us to respond to that. But nevertheless, most of us feel if we are sinful that we shouldn't expect much from God. However, if you are righteous, what is righteousness? Well, honestly, righteousness for most of us is interpreted, whether right or wrong, that we do the right things in our life. We get up and we say our prayers and read the scripture in the morning. That we go to church on Sundays. That we give alms. That we fast during the fast. That we keep the basic commandments, if you will, or the basic directives of the church. That's what many consider righteousness to be. Righteousness is actually growing close to Christ. Righteousness isn't necessarily tied to keeping specific rituals and rules. Those rituals and rules serve us to grow closer to Christ. But many of us, if we are doing our part, praying in the morning and the evening and generally living good lives, not defrauding people, trying to fulfill the basic Ten Commandments. If we are doing those things, like in one of the Gospels we heard today, we feel ourselves to be righteous, at least in our own eyes. Now, if we're righteous, we have expectations that God will do stuff for us. And so often, people go away very disappointed. You know, I spent my time praying just like you said, Father, in catechism. Or I spent my time fasting and doing this. And do you know what happened? Nothing. Where is God? Or even worse than that, that's after doing all those things that suffering has come upon them. Why would suffering come upon myself when I am doing these various things? I've kept my part. What about you, God? When are you going to keep your part? Because intellectually and spiritually, many of us have this quid pro quo. I'll do those boring, chore-like, spiritual things that the church tells me to do if you just bless me. Bless me means give me what I want in life. Give me what I want in life as success. Give me what I want in life as children. Give me what I want in life as a smooth path that doesn't require me to be destroyed or to be hurt or any of my family members. Protect us all. A smooth path. That is the reward of righteousness as we've described this basic covenantal understanding that many of us may carry around. So when we find ourselves barren, when we find ourselves suffering with something, as with Joachim and Anna, they cannot bear fruit, they're not successful, they're cursed by their community. When we experience that, we often assume the spiritual life isn't working. Now, Joachim and Anna can't say that they are sinners. They actually are pious people. How do they respond to their suffering? Well, Joachim fasts and he prays. He separates himself, he fasts and he prays. Anna grieves. In both of these things, fasting and prayer and grieving are all done in relation to God. In other words, they're not grieving by themselves. They're grieving in their prayers towards God. They turn their hearts to God. Instead of turning in on themselves, turning away from God and rejecting God, and putting him aside as though he was some methodology that ultimately didn't work because he didn't bring what we wanted, they turned their hearts to him. And in turning their hearts in this particular example, they were granted their prayers and their grief was eased. That doesn't happen in every case. It doesn't always happen that when we turn in prayer to God, even in our deepest pain, that our answers will automatically be, our prayers will automatically be answered. But nonetheless, that is the example that we are given in today's story. And the truth of the matter is, spiritually, there's a miracle that happens for Joachim and Anna. When they are at the end of themselves, when they are at the end of their rope, when they have no more to offer, it is then that God acts. Now, for them, God acts both spiritually, miraculously, and physically. The elderly woman has a baby, the Virgin Mary, the beginning of our salvation. But we shouldn't always expect those external things. When we come to the ends of ourselves, when the suffering has brought us to the point of breaking, if we are willing to turn to Christ and turn to God, then it is possible that He can meet us there and transform the suffering into a miracle, into healing, and into health. This is one of the hardest lessons, to keep our hearts open and continuously turn to God regardless of circumstances, to not be fair-weather friends, to not believe in the false covenant that says that if I do this for you, you have to do all this for me. Because the journey of faith, Christ desires to bring us to the end of ourselves. The Christian faith is the God-man crucified, who also was brought to the end of himself. The Apostle Paul speaks of being brought to the end of himself. So, for whatever reason that God has chosen the weak among us and the broken, and for whatever reason that He has decided that the only place that much of His actions will take place are in our humiliation or in our self-emptying, the end of ourselves, that is the gospel we have. So as we continue in our journey of today's feast, if you are at the end of yourself, take courage. Don't turn away from God. Turn towards Him. Turn towards Him and grieve. Turn towards Him. Maybe you could even fast and pray. God can break through. He can come to you. He can heal you. He can change circumstances as well. We don't know what He will do, but we also know that when you turn away, nothing redemptive happens. Because redemption only happens in facing God, not facing away. May God bless us to always turn our hearts and our minds and our faces towards our Lord, who hears us, who loves us, who cares for us, who died for us, so that we may never be turned in and bound on ourselves in our suffering. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Amen.